Welcome to the Rod of Iron Podcast, Fundamental Baptist, breaking down discussions, dogma, and daily events. I am your host, Pastor Bruce Mejia, First Works Baptist Church. Joined by the fundamentalists in our church, we have Brother Hightoff Mason, Brother Adam Kanzari, Marco Sanchez, and of course at the board, we do have Brother Ulysses Hernandez, our church evangelist. Looking forward to tonight's episode. We're going to be discussing a couple things here. We're going to be talking about the Taliban and vaccines. Are they sinful? Are they wicked? Are they evil? Is it the mark of the beast? And we'll get into some other topics tonight. We've been away for a while, and so we're back on, coming back with a vengeance. And so looking forward to tonight's episode. Gentlemen, are we ready?
Let's do this.
All right, here we go. Dun 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 dun. This is my second podcast today.
I thought you were going to say your second cup of coffee.
It is. I did the Olive Crown podcast earlier today, and it was pretty cool. We had people from Poland and the UK and London listening. And, dude, when we were doing it, it was like midnight over there.
Dang.
That's pretty cool.
10 more days till 9/11. Never forget.
You know what's funny? Hey, never forget. It was an inside job.
I know.
What are we supposed to remember, or what the general population is supposed to remember?
I just remember going to my mom's room.
What, like, they're trying to get people to remember.
Yeah, what are they trying to get people
to remember? What am I supposed to remember?
They're just trying to get people to remember. Honestly, at the end of the day, when they say never forget, they're saying never forget the victims of 9/11.
That makes sense.
That's what it is.
Killed by our government.
Yeah. Which is pretty crazy. Yeah. How crazy, how far government's willing. Obviously, we don't adhere to the mainstream.
The story, the official story.
The official story of 9/11. It's obviously a major hoax.
No plane hit Building 7.
You know, I learned about 9/11 being an inside job in high school by my teacher. He would have worksheets like showing us like.
No plane hit Building 7.
It demolished.
It was a controlled demolition.
I remember him showing us, and I'm like, what the heck?
I mean, we're seeing the ramifications of it even to this day, because like when I travel, TSA is just ridiculous.
It's all up in your business. Isn't it crazy? Because I mean, I was born into it, but there was like a time before, like, you didn't have to take off your shoes at the airport.
Oh, Adam, there is more than just that. There's a time when your family could actually walk with you all the way up to
the gate
where you go inside the airplane.
That's so crazy to me.
I mean, you could do that. I mean, in the 50s, when people used to fly, I'm not saying people, like, literally. People didn't have powers.
Yeah, just clarify that.
Someone's going to say.
Pastor, actually, people could not fly in the
50s. When people would.
That was the 60s.
When people would.
Yeah, they fly.
Oh, no, it was, 50s and 60s, when people would fly, it was actually considered like a luxury. Yeah. Like, people would dress up in a shirt and tie. Right. And they had waiters, like the flight attendants were like waiters that would come and bring you lobster and all these things. Dang. It was considered like it was like a luxury, basically.
Yeah.
I posted a meme.
I saw that.
You see that?
That was funny.
It's very true though. And you know, you can get a flight in the morning or in morning or whatever, and just go there, just purchase it. You didn't really need like an ID or anything like that. Like because back in even I think in the 50s, 40s and 50s, IDs. Yeah, yeah, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, not until the 80s maybe, IDs didn't even have your face on it. It was just like your name.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people were able to get away with a lot of crimes and stuff like that. You know, you think of like Ted Bundy. He committed a lot of his crimes in Washington, in Utah, I think some in California. And so in order to avoid a lot of the authorities, what he did is he changed his appearance a little bit, and then he went to Florida. And he had committed, I mean, he was like, he was on the run for a long time, and they already knew who he was. And when they had pulled him over or something like that in Florida, he just pulled out a driver's license, and it was just a different person's name. And didn't even have like his picture on there or something like that. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, back in those days, it was a lot different. And I remember flying when I was 10, maybe 9 or 10, going to Central America.
And, you know, it was a lot different. Like, you can just literally walk up to the gate. Your family would walk with you and stuff. And they see you at the window where the plane is and all that. It's different now. TSA is horrible.
You know, they
have Oh, yeah, but like you mentioned, people would wear, like, suits and stuff. Now, people go in their flip-flops.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why they do that, though.
Flights are a lot more uncomfortable now, right?
Well, not just that, but just they're just trying to be comfortable going through TSA. Because if you go in dress shoes and everything, it's just a hassle untying your shoes. And as you're taking off your clothes, you're taking off your clothes to put it on the whatever the thing, you know, the thing.
The conveyor belt.
They're rushing you.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. You feel like you're in prison or something.
Boot camp.
Let's go. Put it on the belt.
Left, right.
They're just yelling at you the whole time. Well, I don't really experience that a whole lot just because I have TSA PreCheck. And TSA PreCheck is $80 for 5 years. It's good for 5 years.
Is it sponsored by a TSA PreCheck?
TSA PreCheck, you just go and you go through a different line. You don't have to wait with everyone else. And you don't. You just put your stuff on there and you go through and that's it. Whereas the other ones, you got to go through the naked body scanner. You know, you got to put your hands up and it's all... And then it just checks you.
$80 for 5 years.
I think you're going to say it's not bad.
A naked body scanner? You
know, I like
it. Wow, they have that kind of technology?
I hate it. But you know, like Los Angeles is really bad with it. Like TSA is...
LAX is crazy.
LAX is really bad. But Phoenix, Arizona is the worst.
Really?
Really?
It's the... When it comes to TSA,
yeah,
they're the absolute worst that I've ever experienced. They have a chip on their shoulder. All TSA workers have a chip on their shoulder, but they have like two chips. Like they were like, when I was there, they're the ones who were yelling like, get it go and move your stuff. And you can't even ask anything. And I remember I was wearing my Babylon USA t-shirt. Okay. And it was the weirdest thing ever. Did I tell you about this?
Mm-hmm.
I was wearing my Babylon USA t-shirt and I was going through and my TSA pre-check obviously didn't work or something. They made me still like do a bunch of stuff and take off my shoes. And this lady, this dyke lady, was just yelling, right? Get your stuff, move it along. Just kind of like yelling. And I get through and she goes, hey, how did you know we're Babylon? And I kind of like look at her and she was like, move along. She was like, that was like, dang.
What in the world?
I was like, all right. Well, at least she admitted it.
Maybe she's a listener.
Yeah. No, she's not a listener. Or if she is, she's not a friend of ours.
Yeah. Yeah.
But TSA is terrible, though. They'll make you take off your shoes, your belt. Unfortunately, I have TSA PreCheck. The last time I flew, I went through, and I traveled with my family, and we brought the stroller. So my son, Isaias, came with me, and so he was on the stroller, and I took him with me. And they put me through the metal detector, and then they put the stroller through, and the stroller rang. And they're like, sorry, sir, we're going to have to check you because your stroller.
You can check the stroller.
I'm like, why don't you just check the stroller? And they literally had to pad me down and everything. Like, I'm like, and I told him, I literally told him this because he was about to do it. I was like, so you're going to molest me. I told him, I was like, you're going to molest me because my stroller went off. And he agreed. He's like, yeah, I mean, I have to check you. The heck? But I think he was embarrassed after I told him that. So he did like a light pad.
He's like hover handing. He's like, yeah.
He's probably queer.
So lame.
No, the queers are on the plane. They're stewards.
Yeah.
So oh yeah.
That's where they keep all the queers.
That is true.
Isn't it crazy how that's like after 2001, after 9/11, that became like the new normal at the airport.
Yeah. Yep. And it's very, very much like a normal thing. And the thing is, like a lot of the TSA workers, they really don't really know a whole lot. Like they don't really know what they're doing.
Well, they're like cops, aren't they?
They act like
cops.
I
think it's like
muscle heads kind
of.
They act like cops.
Yeah.
That's something wrong with that.
Yeah, they get on these power trips.
They're not critical thinkers. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They just need to be told what to do.
I mean, it's a pretty low job. You literally just like follow the orders and that's it. You don't ask questions, you just do what you're told.
Yep. Many a times I've gotten my stuff go through, and then, you know, if I have camera gear or something, and then they have to take it out and like brush it.
Do they ever like? Do you ever have like a thing where they like have to see the stuff on your laptop or camera or anything?
No. They've never done anything like that.
Don't they need a warrant for that? You can't just.
No, they don't need a warrant for that. I mean, really? They did that to Pastor Anderson when he. I guess it's international flights. Actually, never mind.
Yeah, international is a lot different.
Yeah.
International flights are terrible. Oh, yeah. You guys remember when we went to Belize? Do you remember coming back?
Is that when you
all
when
the
you
whole got, process that we had to go through?
When you got kicked out or whatever, right?
We didn't get kicked
out. No, we didn't get kicked out. I get well then some of you.
Damn, bro, you trying to take pictures?
Yeah, why do you have the light on?
I do? Oh, sorry about
that. Hike's getting old.
What? The light is on. What light?
No, we went to Belize, we came back and we didn't get kicked out. We came because of the whole COVID thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that? Oh, man, that was a crazy trip. Yeah. By the way, we might be going to Belize in November. We're supposed to meet about that this week. What happened? Did you look up the restrictions? Ah.
Caught you slacking.
Anytime I mention something that I talked to him we were about to talk about, he shrivels. He's like, damn.
He, like, walks out of the room.
Ah. Joe Biden. And
he does the Joe Biden. No, wait. We might be going to Belize in November, depending upon the restrictions, which I heard there's not a whole lot of restrictions there. Milan went to Belize with his wife.
Alone? Like just nobody else? Yes. Like from the church, I mean?
No, it's just them. They kind of took a vacation over there. Mm. And he said it was good. He said, you know, they got a bunch of people saved. They did have to have their masks. But he said that they had it off most of the time. But I don't know.
I'm cool with that.
I think the only thing you have to do is show proof that you're not contaminated or whatever. Like, you know, you don't have COVID or something.
Like a recent test result.
Yeah, a recent test result.
Which I'd rather get a test now than back then. Because back then they did the nasal.
Oh, they don't do that anymore?
The lobotomy, you know?
What do they do? They like swirl
I think
it
it's,
up
a, it's a it's a simpler test. Yeah. I think it's just a quick swab or something like that.
That one's good because you can just fake it even if you do have COVID. I'm a super spreader.
I don't have COVID. I mean, as far as I know, I got a hardcore last year. So when you get a hardcore, we're talking about the variants, the different variants, Ulysses and I. And mm-hmm. He's like, hey, Ulysses told me, have you heard of the Lambada variant? But it's Lambda because it's the new variant. It's called Lambda, which is a Greek letter. I'm like, Lambada, bro, that was a dance.
Limbo, what the heck?
I told him, I was like, oh, man, I don't feel good. I think I got the Lambada.
You start breaking out to dance. I can't stop it.
So I think it's worth it.
The pre-check?
What? TSA? No, worth going to Belize. Oh. I mean, pre-check, yeah, of course it's worth it. Well, the majority of the airports that I go to, you can use it. The only time I couldn't really use it, it was not effective at all, was when I went to Russia.
You went to Russia? What in the world?
Yeah, that's when I went to Sweden. Oh. Russia was like a layover.
Oh,
Russia.
Russia.
I will never go back to Russia. That was the worst experience ever. That was a crazy airport.
Moscow?
You're going to break Moses' heart.
I told him already.
He's not actually Russian.
The metal detectors don't even work there. It's all a show. They have you go through a metal detector. It's like the airport is like an empty warehouse. It's like everything's fake.
Nobody's going to Russia.
And then when you're going through a line, there's this girl. She's checking your ID. And then I kind of like looked at her and I was like, I don't think she even knows what she's doing.
She can't even read.
I don't know if she can even read English. But I went there and I've been through many metal detectors just through airports. And I was like, this metal detector doesn't even look like it's working. And so people are putting their stuff through the metal detector. And I had, I don't know if it was like my belt or I had like a metal pen or something like that. I was like, I'm going to keep this on me.
Just to see what happens.
Just to see if it even rings. So I kept a bunch of stuff on me that was metal. And then I put my bag in and I went through the metal detector. Didn't even go off. And I remember when I was, it was hard trying to find my gate because no one wanted to help me. But when I finally found it, because everything's in Russian, right? But when I finally found it, we're in line. We're about to get on the airplane. So I'm already there. I've already passed through security and all that. I'm about to get into the airplane, and this Russian worker comes up to me. He's like, passport. And I'm like, okay. So I give him my passport.
He runs off.
He looks at it, and he's like, where are you going? I'm like, Sweden? He's like, where are you from? I'm like,
read it.
Yeah, it's like America, United States. And he's like,
You don't look American.
And then he just gives it back to me. He just walks away. I was like, dude, get me out of here, bro. So let me say this one last thing and we'll move on. On my way to Russia, that was a crazy flight.
Was it straight? Like straight America, Russia?
Straight America, Russia.
fly with
straight America, Russia.
It's nonstop.
Nonstop.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
That's the word I was looking for.
Was it nonstop?
Straight way.
I think it is.
It was close to 12 hours, I think. Maybe 12, 13 hours to Moscow. And it's a massive plane. It's a massive plane. Like there's three rows and the middle row has like five seats or something. And I sat next to this dude and this dude had the worst hygiene I've ever smelled. And I was like, I got to be on an airplane for 12 hours straight next to this guy. It was the worst. And then when we landed, it was crazy. The plane landed like it was landed by a Russian. You know what I mean? Like, Russians are crazy, dude. And it was just like, it bounced a couple times. People are like yelling, like going all over the place. And I'm like, dude, this is it. I'm going to die in Russia. And then we finally make it. And then everyone's all, hey! I'm like, why are you?
The pilot, vodka, just comes out.
I'm sorry. My mistake. But for hours, like the people next to me were watching like Russian like sitcoms or something like that.
I never would have taken that trip.
Well, speaking of 9/11.
Wait, were we spying?
Yeah, speaking of flights.
Speaking of planes.
nice segue.
Of 9/11, the subject of the Taliban has arisen again due to some recent events, correct?
Correct.
And so go ahead, Adam, tell us all about it.
Sure.
like he's hesitant to do it. I guess I'll do it. He's been dying to tell us this whole time.
No, well, where
start
do I start
with the cave when you were born. Just kidding.
Just kidding. I was born right outside. Anyways, the Taliban recently took over Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Again. For the second time,
which is cool, which is a good thing.
Tell us why it's a good thing.
Well, before I get into that, just like, you to kind of understand who the Taliban are.
By the way, Pastor Mahia does not agree with the statements made in this podcast.
Disclaimer.
So I'm not saying the Taliban are like actually I'll get into that later. But so the Taliban, like, they started around the 90s, or they really rose to prominence in the 90s, right after the Soviet Union pulled out of Afghanistan. So they invaded Afghanistan and it went horribly and it failed and they pulled out. And from that, like, wreckage from the war, a lot of like local warlords or regional warlords rose up in Afghanistan.
Pedos.
Basically, yeah. And a lot of them practiced this practice called Baka Bazi, which is, I think it means like boy like pleasure or something like that. Boy something, or boy servants, I think, something like that. And it was just basically this practice where they would just sodomize.
It's just pedophilia.
Pedophilia, where it was just widespread, and these warlords would do it, and it was accepted among like those warlord communities.
Yeah.
So the Taliban, they grew as a reaction to this, as like a violent reaction, and it was started by this guy called Mullah Omar. He died like maybe 6 years ago, but he started basically waging war against these warlords, these local and regional warlords.
Why is it because of the power that they had, they were trying to usurp their authority, or is it because they were just not in agreement with?
I think it was very much a moral issue. So the Taliban started as like ascetics, I think is a word, where they're like very spiritual and like almost like not monks, but like they were like kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were ascetics and they like followed like the rule of the law and the law, like the word of the law, the letter of the law. So it was just kind of like a moral crusade against these people. And that's where like the practice of hanging people from cranes started in like the Middle East, was Mullah Omar hanging these sodomite warlords and these kidnappers and stuff like that from cranes. And eventually it got to the point where they became so powerful that they became the government of Afghanistan in 2001. By 2001, they were in control of Afghanistan. It was like an Islamic emirate and all that stuff. But what also happened in 2001 was 9/11. And 9/11 supposedly was orchestrated by Osama bin Laden or whatever. And supposedly Osama bin Laden went to Afghanistan to hide amongst the Taliban. And that was the official reason we went to Afghanistan, was to find Osama bin Laden, who allegedly was hiding among
the Taliban,
which eventually wasn't true. He was hiding in our ally in Pakistan, not at all in Afghanistan, wasn't even hidden among Taliban fighters or anything. So, and that was in 2011. I think like it was Obama or whatever that announced it. So yeah, we basically went in there in 2001, guns blazing. We toppled like the Afghan Taliban regime and all this stuff. And immediately we started kind of enforcing quote-unquote American values and democracy and stuff like that. So it stopped really being about catching Osama bin Laden. It started to be about like nation building and changing like the fabric of Afghanistan. And what that means is...
it was about conquering and basically establishing authority there by the Americans, basically.
Yeah. And
as much the...
Yeah. And what's especially wicked about that is like on one of the main agendas was to make Afghanistan more democratic. And apparently what that means is allowing LGBT, feminism, quote unquote, women's rights, all this stuff. Right. And so much that every like many American bases, even in 2007 and 2011 and stuff, had pride flags just waving in the American bases. There was articles written about how in like 2012, before it was even like fully legalized or whatever, how important pride flags are in Afghanistan.
Well, the proof of that is like recently they interviewed some of the Taliban or something like that, some of the members, and then it was just like this woman.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Remember that? You seen that video?
Yeah, she says like, so like under your rule, you know, will people be able to vote for a woman and elect a woman as president?
He just chuckles at it. Yeah,
he's like, stop filming.
Funny.
Stop filming.
He just looked at it. He's like, he just chuckles at it. I was like, that's pretty funny.
And he tells him to stop filming. Basically, he's like, oh, that was. And then after that, he's like, oh, that was so really funny. He thought it was a joke.
It is a joke.
Yeah. But yeah, we started like even trying to get Afghanis to eat soy too. We planted thousands of acres of soy in Afghanistan.
What? I didn't know that.
We spent like millions of dollars on the soy initiative in Afghanistan trying to get Afghanis to eat soybeans. And they just refused it.
To effeminize the men.
So they were trying to take their heroin and give them soy.
Yeah. Well, that was another reason too, is the Taliban were very anti the heroin trade. Like they had like the, because poppies grow in Afghanistan, that's where that's made from, and so they were like burning those fields and stuff like that. And obviously we can't have that. It's got to flow, right? It's got to go to China. It's got to go to here. It's got to we got to make our opiates somehow, right? Mm-hmm. So Americans in America can like die of overdose and addiction and all this stuff. So it's all kind of interlinked. But yeah, eventually. After like 20 years and like I think we have like 6,000 dead Americans and like 100,000 dead Afghanis, we finally pulled out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reality is, the military should have never been there in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of people have this misconception that Americanism is Christianity. No. Or, you know, it has biblical values. That's the impression that Americans have here. Then when we go to other places, we're improving their quality of life and their systems and their beliefs and their you know, their customs, because they think that people that go, when Americans go over there, when the military goes
over there,
that they're spreading Christian values. But it's actually the exact opposite.
Yeah. Like
so
military.
even if they were spreading Christian values, they still shouldn't be there. You don't spread Christian values to the military. You spread it through missionaries, not military missionaries. Right.
Yeah.
But that's not what they're doing, you know? And so
in some way too, since we're seen as like America is seen as like the biggest Christian force in the world. We're kind of like hurting the cause of Christ. If like, you know, we're going over there and bombing all these people and killing all these people, and the military says, "Oh, we're Christian." It's like Afghanis don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want.
Yeah,
to be Christian.
they're giving Christianity a bad name.
Yeah, and especially when they're promoting feminism and LGBT, and they're working like our military is working with those former warlords and those pedophiles sodomizing boys and all this stuff. Those were their allies. That was the Afghan government that we were supporting. So there's like tons of stories about that. You can look it up.
Well, we'll see what happens to Afghanistan in the next couple of years. Let's see what the Taliban does there, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're already, it looks pretty good.
What are they doing?
So like in Kabul, like the capital, they had like bikini models and stuff on like the, shop windows or whatever.
They took that down.
They're like painting over it. They're covering it up. All this stuff. They outlawed LGBT. You put to death now if you're a fag, right? So a lot of these people who are running, who are trying to get on those planes to come here, like in that big cargo
ship, they're probably sodomites themselves.
They're either sodomites or they're collaborators who are feminists or all this stuff. That's people who are trying to run away. Mm. And what's also really insane is like did you guys see that picture of like full of Afghanis coming here?
It's all men.
Have you noticed it's all single 30, 20 year old men?
Well, I don't know if they're single, but you can't tell if they're single or not.
I mean, now they are.
yeah. But I'm saying if they're married, you're not considered single if you're married.
Yeah, well, that's
even if your wife's not with you. But I'm saying like the picture of the airplane is like only men.
Yeah, and a lot of them
you don't see children. You don't see women there.
A lot of them are abandoning their families. Actually, a lot of those men.
Oh man.
So we've got like literally the drudges of society like coming from Afghanistan, as bad as it already is. Everybody there is Muslim. We're not even getting the quote unquote like good ones. Well, the one was like values or whatever. We're getting like the feminists, the fags, the men who are willing to abandon their families, all this stuff. Right.
Getting the worst.
Yeah.
Yep. That's sad.
Yeah.
Well, I preached a sermon a couple weeks ago called Immigration from a Biblical Perspective.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have to worry about all this if America... Like those people would not want to come here
if we were Christian.
If we had Christian values in a Christian system,
yeah,
you know what I mean, or just a moral system. Mm-hmm. But there, you know, you put sugar out, you're gonna get, you know, ants.
Flies, yeah.
You're gonna get the ants. You're gonna get the worst of people to come, and so you're gonna get the sugar lovers. Yeah. So that's why they're coming over here, unfortunately. Exactly. Yeah. But people have this warped perspective of what America is, and they think that we promote values and all these like good values, but it's not the case, you know.
There's also now recently there's this narrative coming out that the Taliban is killing Christians in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. supposedly. And Glenn Beck, he raised $2 million to protect Christians in Afghanistan.
Isn't Glenn Beck is anti-Christian?
He's Mormon, isn't he?
He's anti-Christian.
Yeah. But yeah, he raised like $2 million or like $20 million or something like that to protect Christians in Afghanistan. Of course, there's no reports of Christians being killed in Afghanistan.
So where's that money going?
Exactly. I guess. Oh, I mean, there's Christians being killed. I guess we could just pocket the $2 million.
Are there even Christians in Afghanistan?
The only Christians are like probably the military.
Well, you know, if there's any Christians out there, they might be like Orthodox or something. Maybe not.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Yeah, maybe there's some of the military. Yeah. I doubt that there's any... large pockets of Christians.
Well, the military is not even allowed to evangelize either in Afghanistan, yeah. But they're allowed to push, hand out LGBT pamphlets and like feminism pamphlets and all this stuff. So,
man,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's basically going back to where it needs to be, right? In Afghanistan, that's what it needs to be. We shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Yeah, we killed Osama bin Laden 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot.
Yeah, if that was the case, if it was a matter of just capturing him,
yeah.
Which obviously, even when it comes to that 9/11, we don't believe the official story. He's not the one who did it. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
You know, it's just like it was a straw man. He operated as a straw man to push a narrative.
It was a false flag, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many guys did they send into? How many troops into Afghanistan?
I don't know. Probably like tens of thousands.
A lot of people
after
died.
One guy.
After one guy. And he wasn't even in Afghanistan.
I wonder if he even killed him.
He was in a studio in Burbank somewhere.
We don't even have his body.
He's a studio in Burbank.
Are the Twin Towers even real? Have you ever been there?
Yeah, they are real. They were real.
I've never seen them.
They were real. Yeah. Yep.
Well, once those Afghans touch down, as soon as they go through TSA, they're going to be like, oh, dang. Like, what did we get into?
They're coming here because what Pastor said, like there's money here too.
Globalization, that was the purpose of America going over there. You know, it's just trying to conquer land and set up their garrisons and just spread Americanism and wicked values over there. That was the purpose of it.
I mean, but to an extent, at least right now, it failed to an extent.
Yeah. Yep. Which is good. I mean, it's good that it failed.
Yeah.
But, you know, people over there, they're still going to go to hell, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're obviously following Islam and Muhammad and the Quran and all that. And even though they're executing good punishments for capital crimes, as America should be doing, unfortunately, they're still going to go to hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're not saved. So
I think there's like a misconception.
So what do you, I mean... So obviously the Taliban, they don't allow evangelism over there, right?
I don't think so. Probably not. Under Sharia law, they don't allow evangelism. But I think there's like, I was reading about this and just through my own experience, like I come from a Muslim background, right?
Really?
I'm just kidding. I'm not Afghani. I'm from North Africa. But just from my own experience, like talking to people, for, like I've been to Tunisia before and all this stuff. I think the reason those laws are in a place where like you can't, evangelize or whatever, I think it's very much like to protect the people there, like the, from becoming Christian. Cause like when I talk to people there, like they're not Muslim at all. Like in Tunisia, they're like, it's like Hispanic Catholics almost. Like mm-hmm. how easy is it to get them saved? You just show them what the Bible says. Right? And a lot of these people, they're not like Jews or something where they hate the Bible or they hate Jesus or something like that. I mean, they reverence him to some degree, right? Yeah. They call him a prophet and stuff like that. So, I mean, if you tell them, you know, I'm coming in the name of this prophet, I don't think they'd have a vitriolic like reaction towards you. I think it's very much like the same deal with Hispanic Catholics and like that they're, it's part of their identity that they're Catholic, but like, I don't
Obviously, they don't view Jesus Christ as we would view Jesus Christ.
I mean, neither do you.
But they still have some level of reverence and respect towards him.
Just how you'd say like a Catholic does almost.
Yeah, right? They're not going to spit on the ground when they hear the name of Jesus.
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, we've damaged our, like the reputation of Christianity in like Afghanistan, and I think most of the Muslim world since like 9/11. And I think that's kind of on purpose. They really do want Islam to be the enemy and America to be this hub of Christianity, and they hate us because we're Christian. When it wasn't even really
the case
maybe
before. It's just part of all, you know, it's just leading up to this end times and pushing a narrative there to cause the United States just to hate Afghanistan and Muslims even more.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate, but it's part of what's their agenda probably.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going for, I think, like making Islam the enemy. So like, I think maybe like the Antichrist defeats Islam or something like that. And then,
well, I preached that in my Revelation 6 sermon.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you could, it's a possibility that when he goes conquering and to conquer, a great military win for him that would cause him to be a hero in the eyes of the people is the fact that if he were to conquer their number one enemy, which would be the Muslims.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Imam. If he defeats their Mahdi. Imam. The Mahdi, defeats him, you know what I mean? That can be like a really big win for them.
Yeah.
And that's how he gains his credibility as a conquering king, general, or whatever.
Yeah. And I think it's also interesting that like if you look at all the major religions of the world, like Christianity, Buddhism, whatever, all of them are like going more towards being more universal and more ecumenical and more like united.
Except for Islam.
Yeah. Who's pulling back.
But hold on, when he's going forth conquering and to conquer, we still don't know who he is.
Right.
So how would we worship him then?
Well, I'm not going to worship him.
Yeah, mouse in your pocket?
Well, no. I don't think his victory.
What does that mean? A mouse in your pocket?
It's just a saying. I don't think his victory over the imam would cause people to worship him. It would cause him to be, it would give him credibility as a great.
A war hero.
General. Yeah, a war hero.
Yeah.
And I think, because that would be like the greatest battle between the Jews and the Muslims. You know what I mean? Because obviously they hate each other. And that could potentially be the war that would cause for him to receive a deadly wound to the head.
Or rise to prominence.
And then, you know, obviously, you know, because the Bible does say in Revelation chapter 6 that he's going forth conquering to conquer. You got to ask yourself, well, what is he conquering?
Yeah.
Who is he conquering?
And Babylon always needs an enemy too to like portray.
Yeah.
And, you know, America and Israel always are in cahoots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they have a common enemy.
Yeah.
Islam. And so I don't think it's a far-fetched idea. I think it's a credible idea. And I didn't say that the world would worship him because of the wars. I think the conquering would give him credibility, you know, because of the fact that the narrative that's being pushed towards Republican conservatives, Christians, is that Islam is like the Antichrist.
Yeah.
That the imam is the Antichrist.
The whole thing with Ishmael, like he'll be a wild.
Yeah, they'll say that Ishmael, exactly, because they view Ishmael as being Muslims.
Yeah.
Representing Arabs. The Muslims, Arabs, exactly. Yeah. So if he were to conquer them, it would be like a great win for the Republican conservatives.
So the whole world is going to worship the Antichrist.
Except us.
After he raises from the dead.
Correct.
Yes.
Including Muslims.
I mean, if he defeats them.
Well, yeah, I think so. Absolutely. Yeah, because here's the thing is that if he defeats them and he conquers them, then...
And the Mahdi fails.
Yeah, then he, you know, I think somehow the remnant Muslims will amalgamate into
I thought he his would order. Just be like the embodiment of, let's say, whatever the Buddhists worship and the Muslims worship.
I don't think that. I don't necessarily agree with that.
He's not going to be like this one piece of the puzzle that just...
they. No, are. I think him rising from the dead will be the final measure of credibility that he needs for the entire world to say, okay, this is the guy. You know what I mean? And it could be like, you know, the Buddhist could say like, oh, this is the one we've been looking for. But you look at religions today, like you were mentioning, how they're all just kind of unifying. A lot of the radicalism in Hinduism and Buddhism has been so watered down. Yeah. That it leaves room open for a potential person who's not a Hindu, who's not a Buddhist, and then say, well, this is just a guy.
Yeah.
That's why he's saying, like, Islam is the one religion that, it, in a sense, has still remained purified from the amalgamation of any other religion.
Ecumenicalism.
Yeah, any other religion.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't allowed other religions to infiltrate their way of customs and beliefs.
What's interesting is they've tried, like in Germany, they have like they've tried to get mosques run by women or something.
Oh dang!
And you know what happens to those women?
They die, right?
They die.
Yeah.
So like.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there've been attempts, but they've failed miserably. But for the most part, all other religions have been watered down.
Yeah.
Which obviously we don't care what other religions do.
Yeah.
They're a false way, but I'm saying you can see how easy, I mean, if you have Christians that are so-called Christians that are going to worship the Antichrist, mainstream Christianity, and you would think, well, how can mainstream Christianity worship the Antichrist if they, you know, have the truth? Well, it's because it's an apostate, it's apostate churches that will worship him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know, the tip of the spear, so to speak, obviously I'm not talking about saved Christians, you know, are being deceived by the Antichrist. How much more every other religion,
Buddhists or Hindus, or whatever.
That's not founded by Christianity or doesn't have the truth, will be deceived by them.
Yeah.
So, and I think the ecumenicism that's being pushed forth into other religions kind of aids in that.
Yeah, and some of those major religions in the world are already very ecumenical. Like Hinduism already has like Jesus as like one of their gods, and Buddhism likes Jesus too, quote absolutely. Unquote. So,
I mean, what's your thoughts?
I don't know.
Is this all new to you or something, or what? You feel you act like this is like the first time we've talked about this.
What is Islam?
So my take on this is that,
all right, great. All right,
that's a great response. Thank you so much for that, Diane. Yeah. My take on this is the fact that he's gonna come. We're not gonna know who he is. He's just gonna be some military general, or fighting these battles. He's going forth conquering to conquer, and he's just gonna gain. I've always likened it unto he's gonna be like the kings of the Old Testament. And if you think about it, Revelation 6, the Bible says that he's given a crown. So it's like almost as if he's anointed king, but he's not the king yet.
He's given one,
but we don't know who he is until he receives the deadly wound to the head, his deadly wound is healed, and then he proclaims himself to be God. Well, in the Old Testament, David, for example, was anointed king, but was not yet the king. And from the period of when he was anointed to the time that he actually took the throne, he fought a lot of battles, and he gained a lot of credibility. You know, David has killed his 10,000s. Yeah. You know, Saul has killed his thousands, but David is 10,000s.
Yeah.
So he kind of rose to prominence and credibility as just a regular general, right? Before he actually took the throne.
Yeah.
You understand? So I think in like manner, he's going to do this. The Antichrist is going to do the same thing. He's going to be some unknown person, you know, conquering all these people, all these lands and nations. And I personally think that one of them is going to be Afghanistan or the nation,
the Muslim nations,
and
which will give him the most credibility even with Christians. So then when he falls, when he dies, I think even Christians are going to mourn for him.
Yeah.
You know,
look at this great hero or whatever. Yeah.
this great military hero.
There goes my.
I mean, like, I don't know what that is. I know it. But I mean, look how much like reverence or whatever we show to like dead soldiers in Afghanistan. What about like some great hero, you know, that like conquered Islam and went forth? And
all he's going to be like a king that at a time when kings go forth to battle, he's going to be like one of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, and according to the Jews, he's already here.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. What was that about? Was that real?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like they said the Messiah has been born already or something?
Yeah, well, I just saw a video of these two rabbis talking, and one of them was asking, like, when are we going to reveal him? And he's like, he's already here. We're just waiting.
He's invisible.
He's already here. But I don't know if that means like he's... But then again, you know, rabbis, they're liars, you know? So we just see...
They're drunks.
He's right? Bluffing. Yeah, he could be bluffing too, you know? But anyways, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Hopefully, just to wrap it up, hopefully, like, if that isn't the case, Islam isn't going to be this enemy that the world's going to unite against or whatever. Hopefully, now that we pulled out of Afghanistan, hopefully, I think tensions in the Middle East kind of calm down.
Yeah.
Like with the Muslim world or something.
Yep.
Because I think if they do, like soul winning there might be impossible. Or even like immigrants who come here from the Muslim world can get saved even easier if they're not just like, if they don't just hate Christianity off the get go because they bombed their house or killed their dad or something like that. Like a church I went to in Canada, 50% of it was like Iranians, like ex-Muslims basically. Yeah. We had a guy called Brother Mohammed.
Wow.
I would change my name if it was Mohammed, but.
Yeah. Good deal.
Yeah.
Well, let's switch the subject here. Just briefly. Actually, man, we're going a little long tonight, huh?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Did you guys get your vaccine yet?
I've gotten
yeah.
I've gotten I'm trying to collect all of them.
Yeah.
Pfizer, AstraZeneca.
Yeah. Sketchy Chinese brand.
Yeah.
I got a question.
You have a question?
So people who say that the vaccine is the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know who the Antichrist is first? Because doesn't the mark, get distributed after?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're wrong.
So for all these people just saying like,
there's so many things wrong with that.
There's just
teaching.
Way too many. Yeah.
And it really makes me upset when people say, because I see it a lot on Instagram, for example. And it just really ticks me off when I hear that.
Mm-hmm. I would say
because they say it so dogmatically. Yeah. And they're so vehement about it that it irritates the fire to me. And it really shows the ignorance of people. But, you know, I've thought about it for a while, and I'm wondering, like, because I've talked to multiple people who believe that vaccines are the mark of the beast, multiple people. And I've said, look, this is why it's not that hard. You know, here are the reasons why. Let me show you the scriptures. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they're still teaching, it's the mark of the beast. The number is 666, you know. And then I saw a really stupid post the other day, and it literally said, you know, it had that whole 666 thing about the vaccine, and it says, so why are Christians saying that it's not the mark of the beast? And they said, and they put the references, okay,
deceive the very elect.
No. Oh. This is what they put as a reference. Revelation 23,
the new
what?
Chapter, the new revelation.
Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. And I commented on there, I was just like, the same idiots that are telling you that the vaccines are the mark of the beast are the same ones that are telling you to reference Revelation 23.
The expansion pack. The
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, Revelation 23, Jude 3, Matthew 29,
Revelation
Mark 17.
The outtakes.
It's like, good night bloopers. In the morning. Proverbs 32.
That's the Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
The
bloopers.
It's like, what? And but here's the thing. Here's my opinion on why there's so many people saying this in Christianity on social media or whatever.
Because there's a
Christianity in TikTok and Instagram that I feel like
woke Christianity.
Yeah, but I feel like it's only subject to those platforms for some reason. I don't know why. It's I don't like see it on Facebook.
It's like super watered down, like effeminate. Like the one that the reaction you did to like, he's coming back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that one.
It's like that. Well, there's that. And sensationalist. Then there's like these conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like the guy who I destroyed.
Oh, yeah. That guy, Justin.
On that live stream.
The one
stream.
Who lives out of the motel?
Yes.
What is this?
Yeah.
It's some guy who claims to be a Bible teacher and stuff.
Yeah.
But So this is the reason I believe why people are teaching this. Because the medical freedom community is very large, okay? And it's a very large community, but it's not made up of Christians. It's made up of just people who just are freedom lovers. Mm-hmm. And a large percentage of that are Christians or claim to be Christians. And then an even smaller percentage of that are actually like saved Christians, right? So you have these freedom lovers who, you know, they're anti-vax, they're for medical freedom, you know, they're for the naturalist approach, and you know, they would say a lot of the same things that we say. And they obviously understand and see that the vast majority of these freedom lovers are Christians. You know, you got a good percentage of them that are Christians, they're believers. So what I think that they're doing is that they're kind of infiltrating and seeking to take the Bible to fit their agenda, to fit their narrative, basically. Mm-hmm. So they're twisting all these Bible verses and all these things. And that's where I think the whole vaccine is the mark of the beast is coming from. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're not real believers. Because I actually talked to someone who I led to the Lord, and this person was telling me, they're like, I get so frustrated because a lot of the freedom, the medical freedom people, these anti-vaxxers who claim to be Christian, you know, they're always saying these weird things. And I'm like, yeah, why are they saying that? He goes, because they're not even Christian. They claim Christianity.
They just use it as a tool.
Well, they use it as a platform. Mm. And initially, a lot of them would use it as a platform in order to be exempt from certain things. So they don't really believe the Bible. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. They just claim Christianity so they can say, well, it's my religious conviction not to do this thing.
Yeah, it's like the same group of people who are like get into esoteric stuff, like Nephilim and like, well, the Bible, you know, it's not 100% true, but it still has like all this like interesting stuff.
Yeah, and you know what? These are the same people that talk about like the Book of Enoch.
Exactly, Jasher.
The Gospel of Thomas and Nephilims. These are the same people who do this.
Yeah.
And so there's a ton of them on there. You know what I mean?
It's whack,
but here's the thing. You can hate vaccines and not twist the Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, why do you have to twist the Bible and pervert the Bible to make it fit what you believe, right? It's okay to say that vaccines are wicked and evil. It's a valid point.
You just discredit yourself when you bring in the Bible.
And when you twist the Bible to push that narrative. You don't have to do that. Yeah. There's enough secondary principles in the Bible that you can use to teach that it's not a wise thing to take vaccines. It's not a biblical thing to take it without trying to say that the vaccine is the mark of the beast. Now, here's the thing is, because a lot of people are saying that right now, this is the mark of the beast.
Yeah,
Where's the Antichrist then?
Where's the Antichrist? Where's the abomination of desolation?
Dr. Fauci.
They'll say Dr.
75 days has passed.
Not only that, but how about this? Have you seen anyone take the vaccine in their right hand or in their forehead?
I mean, I'll do it.
I mean, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
It says, have you seen anyone buy or sell? If you're not taking the mark of the beast, have you been able to buy and sell?
That's
this
all
week?
Allegorical. That's all metaphors.
For what though?
It's about the false
what is it allegorical?
We're like all the great wonders and lightning.
Those, where are the two prophets?
Those are, that's.
Where are the two olive trees?
Fauci and Bill Gates, two prophets.
Where's the 144,000?
That's us.
Oh, those are Jehovah's Witnesses.
Those are the freedom fighters. The they're the 144.
It just makes me so mad. It makes me so mad that that people do. And you know what? Like, there's people who are not Baptists who like follow me on Instagram, and they agree with me, and they don't. You know, they'll say, yeah, that's kind of weird that people say it's the mark of the beast. I don't think it is. I think they're really bad. I think they're really wicked and everything. But I'm not going to say it's the mark of the beast because they're saved. Like, I've talked to them. They're saved people. They have the spirit of truth dwelling within them. And so obviously the spirit is telling them like, hey, the spirit speaketh expressly. This is not true.
That's actually crazy. I was sewing out here and I got a lady saved and we just started talking about vaccine stuff. And she, I mean,
it's a good conversation to break the ice with.
No, that was after she got saved.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, you know, I hear people thinking like saying like it's the mark of the beast. I don't really think that. I think it's like a precursor to the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
I think it's like conditioning.
Which I agree with.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Precursor, but to say it's the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Like that idiot that I destroyed online, he was saying, you know, it's the mark of the beast. I'm like, have you bought or sold? That doesn't matter. There's people in China who can't buy or sell. I'm like, are Christians dying? Because you know when the Mark of the Beast is rolled out, Christians are dying. A lot of Christians are dying.
Well, he's making war with the saints.
Exactly.
When has that happened recently?
That's when Trump lost.
But it's just people who are ignorant of the Bible. And, you know, stupid posts like that where it's just like, Revelation 23 is just proof.
Yeah.
Revelation 23. You know what? If Revelation 23 says that the vaccine is the mark of the beast, I'll believe it. Man, people are crazy, man. But here's the thing. You know, vaccines.
Do you think they're sinful?
I do not think they're sinful because of the, and I made a video about this like a month ago when I was doing the other podcast, the Olive Crown podcast. You know, sin is the transgression of the law. You know, and so nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt not take a vaccine. But you can pull out secondary principles in the Bible that teach that basically when you put them together, you see over the span of the Bible, yeah, maybe this is not good. They are wicked. They are evil. Number one, because of the fact that they have aborted fetal tissue in it, which obviously if you take a vaccine, you're being a partaker of their evil deeds. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Bible says, neither be partakers of other men's sins. You understand? Mm-hmm. So there is a definite greed and covetous agenda behind vaccines. People make money off of it. So I don't think it's right. Not only that, but it's not good to put all these foreign substances into your body.
Just from a health perspective.
Yeah. You know, if your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God and you are not your own, you shouldn't be injecting aluminum,
monkey parts,
kidneys into your body. So that's it right there. I mean, that's all you need. And the Bible says, Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician. So if you're not sick, you know, you don't really need those things.
Do you think, would you say like you can still get a biblical like religious exemption then, even though it's not like, explicitly like
absolutely
in the Bible?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And we give them out to our church members who need it for their job. We'll make it specific. We will put the Bible verses on there. We'll put their names and how long they've been attending our church. I'll sign it. We'll put it on the letterhead and you can take it to your job. We're going to put a general one for the public, for anybody who wants it, but it's going to be very general if they want it for their job.
Like not, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be very specific, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I don't think you should take it. You know, for people to say that you should, I mean, I know Christians that have taken the vaccine.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, you know? And it's even crazier that people, California was even entertaining the possibility of mandating vaccines if you wanted to go to restaurants and stores and all these things. The only thing that was exempt from that list was churches and grocery stores. That was the only thing. And you know, I was talking to my wife. I was like, well, you know, I guess we're not eating out anymore if this happens. You know what I mean? Like, I guess we're just...
Well, DoorDash. You could order for pickup. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you could go through drive-thrus and stuff like that, yeah. But I'm saying, like, I guess we're not going to be going anywhere. You know, the churches ain't going to be going anywhere. We're just going to have to cater everything in.
What about Chick-fil-A?
I mean, everything. You can't eat in there. Everything.
Is that like but Chick-fil-A's they dropped not a restaurant. They dropped experience.
It. The, well, the Democrat who's trying to push that dropped it. Chick-fil-A's church. What?
Chick-fil-A's church.
Who said that?
Isn't like church?
What about church's
like
chicken?
Congregation of believers.
Chick-fil-A is actually very
All right, what good. About In-N-Out? It has Bible verses on it. Yeah.
I love Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
That was a random, but
yeah, Chick-fil-A tastes good, man.
They're planning on doing it in the city of Los Angeles. We talked about that earlier. I think that's how it's probably going to happen. It won't be
They're going to propose it also in 2022 for California again.
Oh, they are.
The reason they backed off of it is because they felt it would hurt Gavin Newsom for this whole recall election thing. You know. But that guy's already hurt.
It is kind of cringe.
He's hurting.
He's butthurt.
He's hurting right now.
For people who don't even go to church to say, oh, if you take the vaccine, that's a sin and all this and that. It's like, dude, you probably sin all the time. Like,
not probably.
Right?
They do.
You're a sinner. So is this going to be...
I feel convicted.
This guy's calling me out or what, bro?
You're wicked.
You're wicked.
On a Rod of Iron podcast calling out Pastor.
Pastor Mejia Exposed Part 1.
No, but it's like they don't even go to church.
They're hypocrites. Yeah.
The vaccine is a sin. Dude, so many things are a sin.
Well,
is
look, this, look, a lot of people have asked me about it, and then they'll try to correct me on it, and I'll ask them. I say, have you read the Bible cover to cover once? No response.
What's the Bible?
It's like, so you're trying to tell, you're trying to tell me, look, I'm not the best Christian. I'm not the best pastor, but I will say this. I've read the Bible multiple times over the last 15 years of my life or not my 15 years of my life. Yeah. Over the last 15 years of my life, you know, I've read it multiple times. I'm a pastor. I teach the Bible. I read the Bible every single day, cover to cover. I read it every single year. And you know what? Never once have I seen anything being mentioned about a vaccine. So it's interesting that these people want to teach it. They understand neither what they say nor where they affirm because they desire to be teachers of the law, but they don't even know what they're talking about, you know? And it really, quite frankly, it ticks me off. You know, it just frustrates the fire out of me when I see these people online, you know, trying to push this when they haven't even read. They watch a bunch of YouTube videos. They watch a bunch of clips about it, you know, but they don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, he that is ignorant, let him be ignorant still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And, you know, just let him be stupid.
It's like, guy, if you're taking care of a family, if you have kids to feed, you have a wife to feed, and your job is mandating the vaccine, what are you going to do? Let your family starve?
Well, this is what I've told people over the last couple of weeks. Even before Pastor Anderson made the video, someone asked me here. And they said, they're like, what should we do? And I'm like, well, I mean, it really depends on how important the job is for you, right? Like, if it's that important, then, you know, you do have to feed your family. And I always tell them, and you're always going to get a resurrected body. And people hate when I say that because they feel like that's compromising.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure, like you said, that people were saying that Pastor Anderson was compromising on his stance or whatever.
Yeah.
But these people are idiots. Let me just be honest with you. Okay. And this is why. Because of the fact that you can never do right for them. Yeah. You know, we're approaching this from a logical, biblical perspective. And the biblical perspective is this. If the job is that important to you and you have to feed your family, you know, then I guess you're going to take the vaccine. And I don't think you're wicked for doing that. I don't think you're evil for doing that. I think, obviously, I believe the vaccine is bad and it's going to be detrimental to your health. But I don't think you're a wicked person for doing that. And if you take it, well, I mean, you have to provide for your family. But if you feel like, well, no, I can just get another job, then go get another job.
Well, in fact, you'd be wicked if you don't provide for your family.
It's actually wicked not to provide for your family. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think also,
and you know, like, what? A lot of these people who don't take the vaccine, you know what they do? They do smoke pot.
Yeah.
I guarantee you they drink alcohol.
They don't go to church.
I guarantee you they don't go to church. You know?
Yeah, they're
these self-righteous, holier than thou people just because they're not taking the vaccine, but they're committing all kinds of other sins.
Yeah. Somebody was getting on me because I was saying, like, if it was like life or death, take the vaccine. I was telling him, like, no, I wouldn't die. Just not, like, being alive is more important than taking this vaccine. Because if I'm alive, I can still work for God. I can still be with my family. I can still be with my brethren.
And look, this doesn't mean that we're going to take the vaccine.
Yeah.
I mean, I will do whatever it takes not to get it because I don't want it.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want it. I want that stuff in my body. I don't want to inject my children with that. I want my wife to have it. And I will encourage our church members not to get it.
Yeah.
You understand? But if it comes down to it, like someone said, what do you do if they mandate it? I'm like, well, what do you mean? I'm going to do whatever it takes not to get it.
Well, what
if they just force you to take it?
What if they hold you down and they inject it in your arm?
Yeah, I said, well, if they hold me down and they force me to take it, I guess I'll take it. And they're like, oh no, I can't do that. I'm like,
dude, they just force you.
You can't win with these people. You understand? But here's the thing:
lost in your own scenario. Like,
here's the thing: listen. A lot of this stems from fear.
Yeah. Yep.
They're just afraid.
How so?
Because they come up with these irrational scenarios, right, that are never going to happen. And if they do happen, notice that the people who are not even freaking out about this are often people who are just serving God.
Yeah.
They're just walking with the Lord. They're just kind of living about their day. They're not careful. You know, they're not full of care.
Yeah.
You know? The people who are not, who are completely fearful, just afraid of sudden fear, of the desolation of the wicked, are those who are just not serving God.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, if you're serving the Lord, if you're reading your Bible, you're winning souls to Christ, you're going to church, we're with the Lord then.
We're on the winning side.
We're on the winning side. God's going to take care of us no matter what. And look, if you're falling apart right now when this whole vaccine happens, oh, man. Just imagine, it's only going to get worse from here. Folks, don't I say this like every other like sermon?
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse.
Very black-pilling.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to get people to understand.
Dish out the real mark of the beast? Like, you're going
to... Yeah, try to protest that. It, yeah, try to... try. Hey, when they roll out the real mark of the beast, try to go protest that and trying to get your a ballot
body,
to be signed.
Your
or something.
Body, your choice.
Yeah, try to recall the recall the Antichrist.
Yeah, try to use your body, your choice on that one. You know?
Yeah, it's going to be your body.
It's going to be your body.
No exactly. Choice.
I also think people are like, yeah, you were saying people make up these, like, these
if
scenarios.
If you take this chip, you won't have to get a vaccine. They're like, oh, I'll take it.
You were saying like people make up these scenarios in their heads and stuff like, oh, what if this happens, this happens, this happens. Like, I think also a lot of them perish for lack of knowledge. Like, literally just do your research. There's like a lot of ways out of it from like secular perspectives. We still live in America. There's religious exemptions.
Yeah.
And
anyways.
What? They're going to be afraid no matter what it is.
Well, yeah.
Obama's president. Oh, no, it's over.
Yeah. It's they create these irrational fears.
Didn't get real.
And I've met. Listen, I've met people who have these irrational fears.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is like they come to you for answers, and when you give them the answer, it's just not good enough. It's not good enough. It's just like, but it's still going to happen. It's just like, all right, well, I don't know what to tell you, man.
You know what you should tell them? You should be like, yeah, it is the mark of the beast.
No.
Just trip them out.
No.
Why don't you just teach false doctrine? That'd be so funny.
That's basically what he just said.
Why don't you just like mislead them? That'd be really funny.
Why don't you just go back on everything you just talked about right now? So are we against the vaccines? Absolutely. Do I think you should take it? No. Are there ways to get out of it? Yes. What if I'm just completely forced to take it? Then I guess you got to take it. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? You know, what they want me to say is like, oh, no, dude, you got to pull out the guns and just shoot everyone on your lawn. So at the end of the day, vaccines are not sinful, but I believe they are evil. I believe the promoters of the vaccine are evil. There's an agenda behind it. That's been evident since before the COVID-19 vaccine. It's always been that way with the flu vaccine, you know, all these other ones that they have. They make money off of it, so there's obviously a nefarious agenda behind it. You should not take it. I don't think you should if you're a Christian, but if you do, then because you're trying to provide for your family, you feel like you can't get any other job. Like, it's like they want me to give them a third choice. You know what I mean? Hey, it's I guess you could just die. I guess you could die.
You could overthrow the government.
It's like, what do you want me to tell you? These are your options. Look, this is what the Bible says. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, because they tell me like, oh, no, we got to fight this. And it's coming in 2022, though. I was like, well, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
You know? Also, if you do have to take it, look into nicotine patches.
Then hit me up in 2022. I'm busy right now.
Why nicotine patches?
I have no idea.
So there were some studies in France talking about how.
Will that extract the metals from your body or something?
No. Nicotine deactivates some of the spike proteins from either catching COVID or getting the vaccine. Because essentially what happens if you get the vaccine, you're basically turning your immune system into like a subscription service where it's almost as if you have AIDS. Like not that far.
Whoa. was that a hyperbole?
That was a little bit of hyperbole. Go watch Pastor Mejia's sermon, Hyperboles in the Bible.
That was a little extreme
it's anyways, long story short, nicotine can deactivate some of the spike proteins that like weaken your immune
system. He's not promoting anybody to smoke cigarettes.
No, patches or gum.
Yeah.
So you're promoting patches and gum?
I mean, don't
nicotine patches.
I mean, just don't get addicted to it.
Yeah, I don't recommend that.
Look up the studies. Do your own research.
Yeah.
Do your own research.
We do not promote the putting on of nicotine patches or gum in order to help you after the vaccine. In fact, I'm cutting that out of this segment here. All right, fellas. Well, I think that's it for tonight. Do you want to say something stupid too? No, I'm just kidding. Hike already did. Adam already did. I'm just kidding. Well, you know, hey, that was a great episode. Had a good time talking about different things there. Well, folks, you know, hope to see you in the next episode.
I was just trying to get that word out.
We're going to be uploading this, of course, to YouTube, and then we will make sure it gets on Spotify. The audio will also be available on the website, fwbcla.org, which has been updated. And so looking forward to seeing you all on the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in.